This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something makes me mad about what they're doing right now. We'll talk about that tonight. Great news out of Wisconsin. It's not all bad out there. We'll talk about that. Mike Benz joins us again to get us all smart. All that's coming up tonight on I'm Right. Let's talk about power and money and nations and how they operate at the end. You know what? Let's start there before I get to the money power portion of what's going on in the country with the debt and the deficit and what they're doing to us and all this stuff. You want to know one of the things that's always bothered me when I read about history or watch a documentary about history or when I get into history at all, one of the things that's bothered me is this. When nations of any size, of any kind, when they're starting to go downhill a little bit, crumble, come apart, I don't know what word or what phrase you want to put on it, but when things are towards the back end, you're on the back nine, right? When it's finally done, the people who are ruling the nation, in charge of the nation, oftentimes, and honestly, it's the most common thing, they don't go down when the country goes down. You know, you don't go from being king of wherever, Zimbabwe, and the country falls, and wow, you're sitting there begging for spare change on the corner like everyone else, like the citizens. No. The king, and all the king's men, of course, all his administrators, they always seem to nance off to Argentina, to a villa they have somewhere. And of course, historically, they always describe the king and all his men as living in exile. You know, he was forced to live in exile, and you dig into it, and he was in a castle with all his servants. Lived out the rest of his days in luxury. Why does this happen? Why is this such a common historical tale? Because towards the end of an empire, when things go bad, the evil men who are destroying the empire bleed the treasury dry. Instead of feeling a duty to their nation, whatever that nation may be, instead of trying to reverse the trend, turn things around, they just look at that big pot of gold in the treasury and they say, huh, let's fill up our pockets with some of that before we check out of here. What's going on here in America? Well, this number is a little bit staggering, but I just want you to wrap your mind around this. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, right? Those three. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. They now are 84% of total revenue. Now, I'm not going to bore you with the numbers. They're huge. But just know that our government takes in $4 trillion. It's a little more than that. Our government takes in a little over $4 trillion every year. On those three things alone, government now spends 84% of that $4 trillion on those three things, and that number is increasing. It's not as if it's staying right there. That number is going up. So what does that mean? Well, you want a military? Think that's important? Any of the other duties the federal government has, they're all lumped into that teeny tiny 16% that is left. I mean, my goodness, this year alone, the interest on the debt will exceed defense spending. Let me repeat that again so you understand that. All those ships, all those planes, all those missiles, all those bases, all those troops, all those uniforms and bullets and bombs, the interest on the national debt, just paying the interest, you're not touching the principal payment, the interest, it will exceed our defense spending in this country. What's happening right now is all right, I don't want to say late stages, but I'm going to put it this way. I don't know what America is going to look like 50 years from now, but it will not look like it looks today. Because the debt crisis that's coming, I'm not going to say it's going to end the country. I'm not going to say that. You could come up with in your head a scenario where it could, but I'm not saying that. But it is going to forever alter the life of future Americans. It's coming. And instead of trying to reverse the trend, instead of having the all-hands-on-deck meeting they should be having right now that shouldn't even be partisan, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, the Green Party, Libertarians, it should be an all-hands-on-deck meeting where you take every part of the government, picture it like a bowl with 100 marbles in it, and it's not that you're figuring out which marbles you have to cut. No. They're all gone. Just dump the bowl of marbles. Now, we can go back to the marbles and figure out the few we can put back in the bowl, but we're in emergency time here now. It's not even 10 years away. It's coming. And instead, we are led by the most evil, cowardly, selfish people. The president's bragging about cutting the deficit.
It cuts the deficit by $160 billion. $160 billion. I'm serious. Think about it.
We're not cutting the deficit. We're spending trillions and trillions more than we're taking in. So what does it mean for you? What does it mean for the country? Well, what do you think it would mean if all the people out there are on Social Security, maybe you yourself are on Social Security, what do you think it would mean for not just them, for the United States of America, if everyone on Social Security got 20-some percent slash in their Social Security check? Pause for a moment before we go to Rand Paul. I just want to lay this out. So the people who rely on it, paycheck to paycheck, when they get their cut, what do? Can they afford the rent anymore? Food? They might have to move in with the kids. How does that alter the entire economy? How does that alter just the real estate market alone? Children, think about what just that cut means. Now, I want you to sit back and listen to United States Senator Rand Paul tell you what's coming and when it's coming.
And it's not that I want to have reforms, it's that if we don't have the reforms, there will be no Social Security for the next generation and there will be no Medicare. And it's gonna happen pretty quickly. Within the next couple of years, the people who live on the basic smallest amount of Social Security, which I believe is around $700 a month, those people will get a 20% cut in their Social Security unless we reform it. So you have to reform it.
It's coming. And the people who should be saving us, the people who should be having that meeting, none of them are even talking about having the meeting. It's not like a few guys want to have the meeting or a bunch of guys want to have the meeting, but hey, well, you know, we can't get it in Bob's schedule this week. No one's even discussing having that meeting. Nobody. We're all watching it happen. Government Accountability Office just found $236 billion in improper payments For 2023 alone, 74% of those were overpayments. What's that mean? Well, they're looting the Treasury. The people in the government who should be meeting, who should be discussing saving us, they're looting us, pillaging us on the way out the door. Do you want me to go into all the climate stuff? You know, John Podesta, famous Democrat activist John Podesta. Did you know he was paid thousands of dollars by a foreign billionaire-funded group? What's this group about? Oh, it's all about the climate change stuff. Climate change this and climate change that and climate change this. Well, so he goes from being a Democrat activist to being a man who works with the Going Green people. Democrats get elected. They work directly with John Podesta. The money gets blood sucked out of your paycheck and handed to their friends. Those ancient historical stories we talked about at the beginning of the show, where the king and all his men, they don't suffer when the people crumble. They leave to their villa. It's happening. You're seeing it happen right now. Look, the president of the United States is involved. Quote, don't mention Joe being involved. It's only when you are face to face. That is former Joe Biden business partner. That's a text he sent to Tony Bobulinski. So let's do keep in mind with all that stuff about the Tony Bobulinski, Joe Biden stuff. Joe Biden as United States Senator, as Vice President, and I'm sure now as President of the United States of America, has become highly invested in China, sending all your taxpayer money over to his business friends in China to build solar panels over there, all while destroying the domestic energy production of any kind here in the United States of America. So while you get poorer, while you watch your power bill double, Joe Biden gets more and more dollar signs added to his bank account, looting the Treasury as we go down. Look, all these people care about is money and power. That's it. They don't think like you think. That's what's so criminal. They don't think about America. They don't get misty when the national anthem is playing. Do you remember why the Strategic Oil Reserve has been emptied? Do you remember why that happened? Well, we were coming up on the midterm election, and Joe Biden has destroyed our oil industry, so gas prices were through the roof. Joe Biden was worried about Democrats losing too many seats in the House, and so he drained the Strategic Oil Reserve, reserved for emergency purposes only, to save Democrat seats in the House of Representatives. Now it's so low that we can't refill it. They just announced they're not refilling it because prices are too high. We don't even have a Strategic Oil Reserve again. Looting the Treasury, pillaging us on the way out the door. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have an amazing show for you tonight. Now, you just heard where we're going. Do you think making some preparations would be a good idea? You think it might be a good idea to get a hold of Oxford Gold Group and get some things in your physical possession these people can't wreck? They're going to wreck your dollar. They're going to pillage every dime of it. What do you have in your physical possession they can't destroy the value of? What do you have in your retirement account, your 401k, your IRA? Get some precious metals in there. Hard assets. Nation states, finance giants, they're acquiring hard assets in bulk right now for a reason. They see what's coming. Let Oxford Gold Group do that for you. Call them. 833-995-GOLD. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars,
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good news. You ready for some good news in the world of politics today? Here's some good news for you. Zuckerbucks are not going to be a thing, I don't think, in Wisconsin anymore. I can't believe it. It looks like, did we outmobilize the left in a local election? I don't know. Let's talk to Mark about it. Joining me now, Mark Hemingway, senior writer at Real Clear Investigations. Easy for me to say. Okay, Mark, what happened in Wisconsin last night and why?
Well, people did something that was actually very sensible. You know, the idea that you would take something as sacred as, you know, elections and counting votes, and you would get private billionaires or, you know, outside money involved in what should be purely a public function and one with, you know, a transparent one at that, it's just common sense. You know, anytime you get outside actors involved in that process, it's going to lead to corruption. You know, my wife recently testified before Congress on this exact issue, and it was kind of amazing. I mean, even the Democratic congressman in that hearing where we talked about Zuckerbucks agreed, you know, that this is not something that private people should be funding when they were confronted with it and asked to justify it. But, you know, the reality is that attempts to ban Zuckerbucks in Wisconsin have been previously vetoed by the governor of Wisconsin. So clearly people in the Democratic Party and people on the left have a big interest in making sure that outside money keeps flowing into local election offices where they're counting votes and determining the rules that, you know, ostensibly for what should ostensibly be a fair election.
Okay, Mark, can you walk us through this for those who don't quite understand how this worked? Did Mark Zuckerberg walk into Wisconsin and hand the governor his Visa Black card to spend on what he wanted? Who paid who to do what in 2020?
So, yeah. So what happened here was that Mark Zuckerberg donated somewhere around $400 million to two political nonprofits, the Center for Tech and Civic Life, and I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the name of the other one right now. But these were two basically nonprofits that were staffed by Democratic activists, people that, by the way, had a history of doing stuff involving, you know, voter turnout and, you know, analytics for the Democratic Party. And they, in turn, funneled that money through grants to local election offices. And these grants were supposed to be to help them deal with COVID, right? You know, ostensibly, this is going to be a difficult situation. You know, they were going to need all this stuff to do, you know, in a COVID election. But the reality is none of that money went to things like, you know, PPE and all of the other COVID precautions. The reality is that basically what they did in Wisconsin, particularly, was particularly egregious. You know, they brought in like outside consultants to basically, you know, take over the function of, you know, local election offices. And in the case of Green Bay, the local clerk in Green Bay, Wisconsin, quit her job because she said that the mayor had outsourced, you know, basically all of her functions to this outside consultant that had been hired by these Democratic firms that are being funded by Mark Zuckerberg. These grants were also particularly egregious because what they did was they took all this money, the $400 million, and they gave almost all of the money to heavily Democratic areas of swing states. I mean, predominantly the grants, that's where the grants went. So for instance, you know, Georgia got a ton more money than Florida, even though Florida is a much larger state. Out of these, you know, election grants. But the reality is they were concentrating on flipping Georgia, and that's what happened in the 2020 election.
Okay, Mark, the outside consultants, let's nail down on that for a moment. I know the nonprofits are bad and full of commie scum. I get that. And Zuckerberg funded them all. I get that. Who were the outside consultants who were actually holding ballots in their hands in, let's say, Green Bay, Wisconsin?
Well, I can't remember the name of the guy that they had called in off the top of my head. It's in my wife's book, Rigged. We rewrite about this extensively. But basically, the deal there is, you know, they called in these people that were, you know, out of state, you know, election experts that would come in. And one of the things that they wanted to do, for instance, is this out of state guy wanted the state to give them, you know, real time, you know, information about the state's voter rolls and stuff like that. And you know, giving this to these people, you know, who are allegedly outside experts, you know, who knows what they were going to do with that and whether or not they were wanted that, you know, that kind of data would be very useful to the Democratic Party, for instance. What they were doing everything from designing ballots to, you know, determining, you know, the placement of, you know, drop boxes and like all these things where, again, the goal was, you know, in a place like Wisconsin, you know, to go into cities that were more Democratic and turn out the vote in the Democratic areas so that it would overwhelm the turnout in the more rural Republican areas. And if you look at the patterns these gifts were given, almost universally, that was true. The Democratic areas of swing states got all of the money.
Mark, there's a social media account, I want to make sure they get credit for it, and wokeness, I don't know who that is, but they did point out something interesting that's happening. Arizona, Texas, Pennsylvania, states are seeing a skyrocketing number of newly registered voters who didn't have to show an ID. Could you clarify what's happening here?
I don't exactly know what is happening with this. I've seen some evidence to suggest that maybe the, you know, the information that this is being pulled from is somewhat incomplete, and I don't know what exactly is going on with this tweet. I have to sort of, you know, get, I have to like look at the underlying data set to figure out what's going on. Now that said, I mean, obviously we have this huge problem here, which is to say that, you know, Biden has imported something like, was on track to import 12 million, you know, illegal potential voters in the United States in under 4 years. And if you think that these people are somehow not, some of these people aren't going to accidentally end up voting, or that somehow there isn't going to be some sort of effort to get, you know, illegals to, you know, get some sort of, you know, broad amnesty in a way that the Democratic Party thinks helps them, I mean, I think you're absolutely delusional. I mean, never mind that is the underlying issue, which is that, you know, the census and how we apportion our members of Congress is dependent on, you know, counts of, you know, people, not necessarily citizens. So we already have a situation here where I think that there's, by some estimates, we have, you know, an additional 12 congressmen apportioned in this country in places like California, just because they're counting, you know, the illegals for representation purposes, which totally skews things in favor of Democrats in the case of California. So it's this problem of getting illegals involved in the voting process is a huge one, and it needs to be monitored closely.
Mark, what do we think about the new leadership at the RNC? Who they are, the moves they're making? I generally don't put any faith in the RNC to tie their own shoes, but what are we thinking so far?
Well, it's really hard to tell because before the new leadership took over, the RNC had been making big moves to deal with, for instance, voter fraud and deal, you know, with election integrity issues. They, you know, they'd done entire shops within the RNC. Like they had a legal team that was just devoted to dealing with, you know, ballot issues and election integrity issues. And they had a communication shop that was just dealing with those sorts of things. So they're already gearing up to sort of address that problem. And what's interesting, one interesting thing I think that most people don't realize is that it wasn't until, you know, 2020 or so was the Republican Party for the first time in nearly 40 years was allowed to, you know, conduct Election Day oversight because of a, you know, crazy situation involving a federal judge where the RNC had been mixed up in something that went wrong in a governor's race in New Jersey. And it used this bad thing that happened in the election to hold the Republicans under a consent decree so that they couldn't do the same day, they couldn't do Election Day oversight the way that the Democratic Party had, and they were legally restricted from doing that. So they're already in a situation here where in just a few years they're having to gear up and do, like, you know, countrywide Election Day oversight to make sure that everything is on the up and up, and they just don't have the muscle memory to do that. They were, you know, building from scratch this, you know, situation where they claimed to care about election integrity, and then they were building entire shops within the RNC to oversee those things on both the legal front and the communications front and a whole bunch of other things. And then there was this big turnover here. So whether or not the new, you know, people understand all the issues and they're going to be up to speed on them, I just don't know. But it's my understanding that people at the RNC know that this is a priority for their voters, and they promised, you know, and made a lot of moves to, you know, create these election integrity shops within the RNC. So we'll just have to see whether or not they're actually effective.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Mark, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. All right. Speaking of illegals and voting, let's have a talk next. Before we get to that talk, let's talk about this. You know the crime is bad. It's not breaking news. Crime is bad. We not only have American criminals who aren't being charged. When they are charged, they're given a slap on a wrist. They're just running free now. We now are importing entire criminal networks, not just individual criminals. Entire criminal networks are coming into the United States of America. We've taken the worst gang in Venezuela and we've relocated them here with you. Do you carry something on you that will allow you to stop a bad man from doing what he wants with you? If you run into a bad, violent man in the parking lot tonight, in your driveway, what do you have on you that will allow you to stop him? Get a Byrna pistol launcher. This is legal in all 50 states. No permits needed, no background checks needed. Even if you're not a gun person, I love guns. I carry concealed, but I also carry Byrna. But if you're not a gun person, fine, it's non-lethal. Shoots pepper balls or tear gas balls. BYRNA. Byrna.com/Jesse. Get one for yourself and the person you love. We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let's talk about illegal immigration and something that I can see plain as day happening in the United States of America. It's just, it's crystal clear now. Once you see it, you won't be able to unsee it. So, all right, you know the deal. You know the numbers. First 6 months, 1 million illegals. First 6 months, over a six-month span. Let's call the number 10 million. Right? Let's call the number 10 million for Joe Biden's first term. Let's say, and that's light, but let's say 10 million illegals have been brought into this country. And understand that they're being brought into the country by the American government. I know this is hard. It's a bitter pill to swallow, but your government is hostile to you. The people who run the government are trying to burn down the country. That is where we are. You're an American citizen. I'm an American citizen. We live in a country where the government hates us. So they're bringing these people in. Why, though? Why? Well, on top of the basic communist goal of overwhelming the institutions, Cloward Piven strategy, they've talked about this forever. The communists have written about this. Overwhelm American systems. Education system, healthcare system, overwhelm the debt. We don't even talk about illegals and what they mean for the debt, the deficit. Overwhelm the system, collapse the country. That gives you your communist revolution. You take over. You get to murder all the Americans you don't like. That's been the plan for the longest time. Okay, so that's one basic part of it. But another part of it is this. It's about power. Let's pause on illegal immigration for a moment. You know about the Great Society? That's what it was called. What a name, of course, the Great Society. Well, did you know that black families in the 1950s in the United States of America, 75% of black people in the United States of America in the 50s grew up in a two-parent home? Did you know that? Now, people love to talk about the black community in America today, and they always talk about what? They all vote Democrat. The crime, the fatherlessness. Okay, that's okay. About 30% of black people in America today grow up in a two-parent home. How'd that happen? What happened? Well, let me clue you in on what happened. Even during the terrible segregation time of the 50s and whatnot, you know, white-only restaurants, all that evil crap, the black family was rising and thriving, expanding manufacturing. It was going very well. And then Democrats did something. Pay attention. This is going to come back to illegal immigration. Democrats realized, hey, we have an opportunity here. we can steal this voting demographic from Republicans. What will we do? We will massacre the black family. We'll pass a bunch of laws that look really nice, but they'll incentivize the destruction of the black family. And Lyndon Johnson's own words, it's a quote directly attributed to him, is, I'll have those, he used the N-word, that's the kind of guy he was, I'll have those blank voting Democrat for 200 years. Here we are in the year of our Lord, 2024. The Great Society, all that welfare crap they passed, blew up the black family. Now they've been a reliable black, or a reliable Democrat vote for how long? Bought off by government programs, bought off on purpose by evil Democrats. Now, let's come back to today. 10 million. Look, that number's light. Remember, the illegals were pouring in even before Joe Biden took over. They just hit the gas pedal once Joe Biden took over. But let's just make it 10 million. They're all going to stay. You know that, right? We're not deporting hardly anybody. They're all staying. They're welcoming more in. They're encouraging more in as we speak. There's another migrant caravan, as they call it, even though they're illegals, heading north, heading towards America's border. So you brought in 10 million people. You already know the disgusting interpretation of our laws gives these people their children. It gives their children citizenship. So the 10 million... yeah, we all know they're going to get amnesty of some kind in some way. Republicans will help Democrats give them that. But let's act like that never even happens. Let's say none of those 10 million get amnesty. All their children will be American citizens. Social Security numbers, driver's licenses. And they'll be voting American citizens the second they turn 18. Now, let me ask you, how many children is that? Off just the 10 million, how many children? How many people are we talking about here? 20 million? 30? Let's go another generation down. 50 million isn't at all an unreasonable number. 50 million guaranteed new Democrat votes bought off with your taxpayer money. You can see it happening in front of your eyes. It's why they're not, I mean, yeah, they're doing a bunch of black outreach this year in an election year, of course. Joe Biden's doing that. But you can see they're not even stressing that much. They're not changing things, their policies, when it comes to taking in all these illegals in cities like New York and Chicago. Where are they putting the illegals? Stuffing them right in the black neighborhoods, the black schools, the black rec centers. The black people in these neighborhoods are outraged, yelling at them, what are you doing? Why'd I vote for Joe Biden? And yet Democrats aren't removing these illegals, are they? In fact, they're bringing in more. Why is that? Well, they found a new girl. They found a new reliable voting block in the illegals and their children to come. It's really, really bad. And plus, they get all the benefits of the crime, remember. Remember, crime, chaos, angst, all this social anxiety that comes when you bring a bunch of murderers and rapists and drug dealers into the country. It makes people afraid. It makes people turn to government. You see this story out of the Bronx?
The squatters, you know, and the owner has been trying to get them out of the apartment for the longest period of time. And I think he has a court date set. Apparently, because they're squatters of more than 30 days, they came and they were kind of a disruptive force, mainly because they were a lot of them, you know? And you didn't know who was staying there or not staying there. And, you know, the owner of the building had a hell of a time trying to get them out.
Now, De Sosa, Villata, and seven others were charged with criminal possession of a weapon, criminal possession of a controlled substance, and acting in a manner injurious to a child. All but two were released without bail. Now, Villata was already charged with attempted murder for shooting another person in the leg that was over in Yonkers. As for these other suspects, they are being investigated right now, all tied to a string of robberies.
Yeah. There's a little preview of what's more to come. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about China, Taiwan. Does China have an earthquake weapon? No, I don't think they do. But anyway, we'll talk to Mike Benz about that next. Before we get to Mike, let's talk about you and the timeshare that you think you're stuck in. Lone Star Transfer will get you out of that timeshare, you know. I know you've been calling the timeshare company. I want out. I can't get out. you're sending emails. They're telling you that you're stuck for life, and they've jacked up your annual fees, haven't they? Special assessments, you probably can't even get in the thing. Did you know that over 20,000 timeshare owners have legally and permanently gotten out of their timeshares? All they did was call Lone Star Transfer. You're calling the wrong person. Don't call the timeshare companies. Call Lone Star. Family business. They'll get you out. They guarantee it in writing. 844-310-2646 or go to LoneStarTransfer.com. We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yes, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think they're ready. And I think what they're looking for is to particularly see what the United States might do. And they pay very close attention to the situation in the United States. And if they see us in chaos, fighting with each other, distracted, either domestically or, say, in Europe, the Middle East, well, the go signal sure looks like it's come on in that case.
I'm not going to lie. My conspiracy-loving mind is going crazy right now. I can't wait to just have Mike yell at me for my wild theory. So you saw that earthquake in Taiwan last night, and buildings are half over. It's friggin' horrible, right? So say a prayer for those people. And then you saw the news reports that Chinese warplanes are circling, and I thought to myself, does China have an earthquake weapon? Is that a thing that they have? Did they do that to set off an invasion? And I hate the Chi-Coms, but if they did that, that's freaking cool. Hey, Mike, joining me now, Mike Benz, Executive Director of the Foundation for Freedom Online. Mike, does China have an earthquake weapon? If so, that's awesome.
Well, you know, if they did, I feel like 60 Minutes would have already done several in-your-face specials on it. We were just told that Russian brain beams are in vogue now, borrowing from the Marjorie Taylor Greene space laser. We're now into brain beams, so earthquake weapons seem like a natural evolution in our news cycle. You know, I see the Taiwan situation as being, and I'm being slightly glib when I say this, but I see it more as being a bribery game than being a military, bloody warfare game. You know, our hold over Taiwan's internal politics, which is necessary for our ability to be able to import all the semiconductor chips and all the high technology that Taiwan, it makes it so geostrategically important, is dependent on our funding of Taiwan civil society and Taiwan major political players. As China's economic rise continues, they will be able to outcompete us for soft power influence on Taiwan. And a moment like this, where there's an earthquake, is really one of those moments that come around in the fate of a country and help often decide who wins the bribery game. If you remember, Haiti had a series of major earthquakes and natural disasters and floods. These were opportunities for reconstruction funds to come flooding into the country, and then suddenly major swaths of the country are now owned by those new landowners. You could have a situation like that in Taiwan now, where I'm not anticipating a military strike or threat by China, but the competition for who will provide the reconstruction funds is something that I'll be keeping an eye on.
Okay, so look, if I'm being kind, this administration is not exactly known for their deft foreign policy moves. Who exactly do we trust in the Biden administration to out-navigate Xi Jinping when he's like 5 miles off the coast of his border? I know it's further than that, but it's really close.
Yeah, well, we're probably going to have to wait about 7 months to find somebody who's got their head on straight on that issue. So I can't name anyone in particular in the Biden State Department. I mean, they are truly riding the horse backwards, at full galloping speed. So I agree with your assessment there. And this actually relates to a lot of other things that are happening right now in the news. I mean, I talk a lot, for example, about Ukraine and the role of the Biden first family in the natural gas story. Now, obviously, there was Burisma, but then there was also the play to privatize Naftogaz, the Ukrainian state-owned gas company. And then it surprised many folks about 6 months ago when the Biden administration announced a pause on LNG exports. Now, to me, I didn't see this as the Biden administration going after the LNG market, going after the liquefied natural gas market. What that pause does is that pauses U.S. exports abroad. But we know that Hunter Biden's private equity firm invested $1.6 billion in Sinopec, China's major gas company. Sinopec is not impacted by that LNG export. Sinopec's competitors are. And in fact, this is one of these situations where it keeps the price of gas high to pause the exports from the U.S. because the U.S., with our fracking miracles, basically become the largest natural gas exporter in the world. With those exports paused, this gives Sinopec and Chinese gas companies the ability not only to increase their market share in the international gas market, but at the same time, they get to make massive more profits because as the supply is constrained with the U.S. exports paused, that means they can draw a larger profit from a bolstered price of the gas they're producing. So it's almost like U.S. foreign policy is designed to maximize profits for China.
No, of course it is. Okay, so that actually leads me to any potential future conflict with China, Mike, whether that be on Taiwan or somewhere else. If there is an actual conflict, God forbid, between us and China, I find this to be the oddest situation. Historically, I'm sure there are examples, but we need each other. They need us, and we need them. Could we ever actually fight?
It would take a series of escalations, I think, with an opportunity at every point to de-escalate, and I don't think it's even gone through the first sort of iteration of escalations. You know, obviously there's a lot of positioning right now in the South China Sea. China has vastly increased the size of its navy, while the U.S. is completely stalled in that regard. But, you know, China has an advantage in that respect because the U.S. has 750 to 800 military bases dotting the entire globe. We are a world army, whereas China is a regional army, and that allows them a tremendous concentration of power. And they are only right now in the early stages of converting their economic dominance into military potential. You know, obviously, what the richer you are as an economy, naturally, over time, the better your military becomes because you're able to convert all of that capital into a military industry. And China has only really begun that process in the past decade. And, you know, it's one of these things where right now China is now the largest trading partner to Europe. They now have, you know, a larger gross economy than the U.S., but we still have a larger war machine. As every passing year, China gets farther and farther ahead of us economically, it's going to be more and more difficult for us to be able to challenge China militarily. And, you know, as I see it, there's not going to be any military move until there's a clear winner. When near peer equals are very close together in military strength, they very, very rarely go to war. You know, it's usually when one party perceives they can wreck another country's military because it's wreckable. And I don't think the U.S. is yet in that state.
That brings me to Ukraine, Mitch McConnell. Well, this is what Mitch McConnell said about why he's remaining in the Senate.
But I'm not leaving the Senate, and I'm particularly involved in actually fighting back against the isolationist movement in my own party and some in the other as well. And the symbol of that lately is, are we going to help Ukraine or not?
Mike, why are these people so in love with this? They're lowering the conscription, easy for me to say, age in Ukraine. The country has lost an entire generation of young men. Apparently, they're moving on to the boys, and American politicians love this war.
Well, I can understand, you know, why one might fumble with the word conscription, because conscription, there you go, I did it too, because it's a word we don't use very frequently in the United States. You know, conscription harkens back to centuries ago. You know, in a free world, to be drafted by force by the military in a war you don't even want to fight is such an alien concept. But, you know, really what McConnell is doing there, invoking the word isolationist, is frankly disgusting. This is an attempt to try to harken back to World War II holdouts, and calling them, you know, isolationist for not wanting to send their boys to die. And this is really not about isolation. This is about focusing on domestic priorities over foreign policy. The thing that made China so powerful in the past 50 years is that it focused on itself. It focused on its own high-speed rail. It focused on its own, you know, building. You know, we laughed at ghost cities, and there's obviously a lot of, you know, sort of Ponzi scheme elements associated with that. But the fact is they have raised the poor into a middle class standard. They've built ports. They've built beautiful cities. They have clean subways. And this is partly because they don't have 800 different military bases and aren't involved in paramilitary conflicts and active regime change operations on six of the seven continents of our green planet. And the ability to focus on domestic priorities ultimately does convert into an ideal foreign policy, because you come from a position of strength because of your own internal economy when you go to negotiate with your foreign counterparts at the State Department negotiating table. And you come from the ability to convert a larger war machine because you have a healthier internal economy if you need to truly go to war. We're doing everything backwards. And what, you know, this Ukraine situation is really about, you know, it's about the energy play, as I mentioned, with the natural gas story. It's about the military contractors, and it's about investments that are being protected, that were made by BlackRock, that were made by the Chamber of Commerce, that were made for from members of the World Economic Forum who have had this plan in motion since the Cold War ended to conquer all of Eurasia, to take the $2 trillion worth of natural hydrocarbons on the Eurasian landmass, to take that from Russia militarily if need be, diplomatically and in a perfect world. And the Ukraine piece is the final, it's the final piece of that jigsaw puzzle, and they're fighting like hell to do it. But at the end of the day, that doesn't help everyday Americans. We don't you could make the argument if we controlled all of Eurasia, now we were exporting steel, U.S. steel, or U.S. Pepsi products, or U.S. U.S. energy exports to that. Well, we've now shipped our manufacturing abroad. Those aren't converting into U.S. jobs. Those are just converting into essentially Swiss bank accounts for the C-suites of these companies and these financial firms. So the link that Reagan touted about trickle-down economics has been completely severed, and we need to get our own house in order before we go trying to break down other people's houses abroad.
Mike, that was friggin' awesome. Like always, come back soon, my brother. Thank you for making us smarter again. All right. We have a light in the mood. Next.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And look, whatever comes this year politically, we can take joy in little things, certain little things. One of the things I personally take joy in, because I'm a bad person, I enjoy that Jill Biden has to hit the campaign trail so often because Joe can't talk, he can't think, he can't function, he can't answer questions. And sometimes Jill does well, and sometimes it goes like this.
But when these polls, like the Wall Street Journal one, land in the White House and he's losing in all the battleground states.
No, he's not losing in all the battleground states. He's coming up and he's even or doing better. So, you know what? Once people start to focus in and they see their two choices, it's obvious that Joe will win this election.
All right.
Kind of interrupted, sounded a little desperate. Anyway, I'll see you tomorrow.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.